Go ahead and open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 8. Y'all can go ahead and stand. I did want to be a little bit encouraging because the message is going to be encouraging, I promise, but it's going to be pretty discouraging here at the beginning. So just hang in there. Isaiah chapter 8, look there at verse 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Now chapter 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. When I first read this passage, I was reading through Isaiah in my Bible reading. And when I first read it a few weeks ago, I thought, man, I'm not really sure everything that happened in this text, but I feel awfully hopeful, even though I don't know what it's talking about. And so there's going to be a lot of teaching tonight. And we're going to... I know that you all like to turn to different passages. I'm not going to have you turn to every passage just because we're covering about 700 years of history. And I'm afraid y'all turn too slow for that. And so, not all of you, probably just my dad. But anyways, I told you it would be discouraging when we started. But to start tonight, I'm going to make a statement and... I just want you to think, you can raise your hand if you agree, or if not. But I'm going to make the statement, and I want to see if you all agree with it. I would say that this world is an awfully dark place. Would anyone agree with that statement? I think that it's pretty obvious that when people try to live without God, the product is darkness. And I don't think that I really need to prove this statement. I think that it's pretty self-evident to anyone who can see society around them, things that are happening in the world, that the world is a dark place. I think all of us know at least one person who's tried to ignore God and His way, and it's produced darkness. And I think this statement that whenever we try to do things our way and we try to ignore God's way, that it produces darkness. I think that that statement is part of human nature, and we can see that throughout history. And we certainly see this principle in our text. We see that part of human nature that when we ignore God, it produces darkness. And so, before we deal with this text, I want to give you a little bit of the historical context. A lot of this is in 2 Kings chapter 16. You can turn there. I'll only reference a few verses. So this takes place in the period of the divided kingdom for Israel. Okay, so it was one united kingdom with all 12 of the tribes of Israel. It was united under David. It was united under Solomon. And then under Rehoboam, he decided to do what he wanted to do and disregard the Lord, and it produced darkness, and the kingdom was divided. Okay, you had 10 tribes eventually that divided into the northern kingdom, which was Israel, and the two in the southern kingdom, which was Judah. Okay, the northern kingdom had all evil kings, and the southern kingdom had some good kings and many evil kings. And so the king... right now that we're talking about is King Ahaz, and he was not a good king. The Bible says in 2 Kings 16, verse 3, it says that He was a wicked man in that he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. He offered his children as sacrifices. He followed the abominations of the pagans around him. He sacrificed and he burnt incense to other gods. And he completely rejected the Lord. And worse than that, he led his kingdom. He led all the people under him in Judah to completely reject the Lord. And so he led them into darkness because he decided to reject God's way, to follow his own way, and it produced darkness. And so because of this, God brought enemies against Judah. The Philistines came up against Judah. The Edomites came up. Syria came up against Judah. And worst of all, Israel made an alliance with Syria. And so you have four enemies that are completely surrounding Judah. And they're attacking Judah. They're killing people in Judah. They're taking captives out of Judah. And Syria and Israel eventually are besieging Jerusalem. And it's not a good situation at all. We could say that this is darkness. And it's a direct result of sin, of man going their own way and rejecting God's way. And you would think, if you're in Ahaz's position. Okay, so imagine that you're the king and you've gone your own way and it's obviously not working out because there's like people ready to kill you and there's nothing you can do to stop them. Think about it. If you were the king, what would you probably do? You'd rejected God and you know that's why this judgment's here because he had prophets telling him, hey, that's why this judgment is here. And I probably would have tried to get things right with God. I probably would have said, you know what? I was wrong. I'll do what you want me to do. And that's not what Ahaz did. He transgressed more and more, and he brought more darkness into his kingdom. And what he did was he started sacrificing to the gods of Syria. So the nation that's besieging him, he's walled up in Jerusalem. There's nowhere he can go because he already sacrificed to these pagan gods. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it some more. And he thinks the gods of Syria are helping Syria. So maybe I'll just sacrifice to their gods and they'll help me. Well, it didn't. And so that's why he's in this predicament. And so into this setting, this is when our passage takes place. Isaiah comes to Ahaz in the middle of this siege, and he comes to Ahaz, and he gives him this message that he received from God. Turn back a couple pages, Isaiah chapter 7, and look there at verse 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7. I guess you all turn to 2 Kings. Sorry, I should have told you not to do that. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 7. Isaiah tells Ahaz, thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. And he tells him, don't worry about the two tails of these smoking firebrands, saying essentially they're all smoke and no fire. Don't worry about them, because thus saith the Lord, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. And he gives the incredible prophecy about Christ, which we all know there in verse 14, Isaiah says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. And so he says, regardless of your sin and the darkness that you've brought on the kingdom, on the people, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. The Lord will give you a sign and this son will come and his name will be Emmanuel. Ahaz, regardless of your sin, God will come dwell with you. But then he says this in verse 16, Isaiah 7:16, he says, for behold, the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good. The land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, how young do kids have to be to learn to refuse evil and choose good? Not too young, right? So we know that before this child is even born, Israel and Judah are both going to be taken captive into Babylon. And so what Isaiah is saying is this. Look, God is going to come dwell with you. Okay, regardless of your sin, God is going to come to you. But you will still be judged for your sin. You will still be punished for your sin because of the darkness that you've brought on yourself. Earlier in the chapter, though, he gives this hope. He says, he tells Ahaz that the remnant shall return, which is some consolation, right? It's like, even though Judah is going to be judged, a remnant's going to return, but Ahaz still has to face the consequences for his sin. And then Isaiah warns Ahaz, it's going to get even worse. And that was the passage that we just read at the beginning in chapter 8. He says that the Jews would seek after people with familiar spirits. And remember Saul, he went to the woman with the familiar spirit to talk to Samuel. And he says that the Jews are going to seek after that. And they're going to seek after wizards who mutter and peep. And I think you all understand what this passage is talking about. We don't need to unpack it all the way. What's clear is that the Jews in the future would reject God even farther, and they would completely turn to darkness. They would turn to sin. The Jews would forsake the law of God. Chapter 8, verse 20, he says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. So he's saying that the law, the testimony, the holy scriptures that have been given by inspiration of God, Ahaz, one day, the Jews are going to trample them under feet. They're going to reject them. They would pass through all of this, hardly be stead, or they would be oppressed. They would be weighed down, and they would be hungry. And when they're hungry, they would curse their king. They would despise the king. They would despise the government. They would despise their God, and they would look upward, and they would ask, God, why are you not helping us? Where are you in this time of our darkness? And then they would look to the earth for help. Verse 22, it says, they shall look unto the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. There's going to be no help for them. For the darkness that they got into because of their sin, there's going to be no help for them on the earth. And so Isaiah paints this grim picture for Ahaz. And he says, Ahaz, as bad as it is now, as dark as things are now, it's going to get worse. He paints this grim picture for Ahaz, and then he offers him hope. The coming darkness, as bleak as it would not be as hopeless as Ahaz's current predicament. Okay, so what am I talking about? Look there in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Okay, stop. What is her vexation? I believe, and I have reasons for believing this, I'm not going to get into them currently, but I believe this is talking about the Babylonian captivity that's coming. He says that the dimness will not be such as was in her vexation. I believe that's what the vexation is. And if you disagree with me, you can write your own sermon. But right now, this is my sermon, and so I'm going to say it's the Babylonian captivity. Or you can ask Brother Combs, and he can fix it on Wednesday. Preacher, I guess you're preaching out of Isaiah chapter 9 on Wednesday. So I believe it's talking about the Babylonian captivity. Sorry, I have no idea where I am. The Babylonian captivity. That's the vexation that's coming. And we read the verses in chapter 8, and those were dark and those are awful. But Isaiah says they're not going to be as bad as the Babylonian captivity because there's going to be hope. When the people spiral down into darkness and completely reject the Lord, there's going to be hope. Look there in keep reading in verse chapter 1. Shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. Okay, so this is so important that the hope comes to Galilee. Because if things were bad in the rest of the kingdom, you can bet they were the worst in Galilee. Because Galilee was a region mixed with Jews and Gentiles. Galilee was the farthest away from Jerusalem, which is where the temple was, which is where the priests would be. Galilee was far removed from geographically from where the people would meet with God. And because of its distance, the Gentiles there could practice their paganism unhindered. And the Jews there could follow that paganism unhindered. And it was mixed, all kinds of paganism, all kinds of ideas, all kinds of, we could say, religious practices and confusion and darkness. It was all there in Galilee. And you can guarantee that if things were bad in Jerusalem, if people were backslidden in Jerusalem, it was darkest in Galilee. But Isaiah says, in the darkest point that's coming in the future, hope is coming to Galilee. We keep reading there in verse 2. He says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The light of the world would shine into the darkest night of Israel's future. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Let's stop right now. That's what Isaiah said would happen. He talks about the darkness that was present. Could we, and you all agreed already that this world is a dark place. So, could we compare the world as it is today? So everything you see going on in the news, all of the awfulness, just the depravity that we see in the world. Could we compare that to the world when Isaiah was here? I think we could. I think we could say the world is just as dark, just as depraved as it was back then. I would say that the darkness that Isaiah saw was not too different from the darkness today. There's war. Israel is at war, and we've seen the atrocities that Hamas has committed there. And that's darkness. Russia is still at war against Ukraine, and we've seen the atrocities there, and that's darkness. And there's all kinds of darkness all around the world. And even here at home, Satan has confused thousands of people about the most basic facts of humanity, and that's darkness. And abortion is heralded as a basic human right while the unborn go unprotected. And that's darkness. It's paraded and it's celebrated by people in the nation, including half of our government. That's darkness. And that's physical darkness that we can see, but there's incredible spiritual darkness. Islam is on the rise. Buddhism and Hinduism are on the rise here in America. Even in the mainline Christian denominations, there is no hope in Catholicism. There is no hope in... okay, they're not Christian. But there's no hope in the Jehovah's Witness church. There's no hope in the Pentecostal church. It's darkness. It's confusion. Agnosticism and atheism are on the rise. I was talking to a kid at work this week, and I asked him, you know, have you gone to church? And he says, yeah, I've gone to church, but I don't believe in God. And so I asked him why, and he said, because I've never seen God and I've never heard God. And so I guess as a 20-year-old kid, he's figured out the secrets of the divine. And he knows that there is definitely no God because he's never seen him. And, well, he's never seen Abraham Lincoln either. But he doesn't believe there was no Abraham Lincoln. But there's people all around in our nation, people who we work with, our neighbors, people who believe either they believe in Allah or they believe in the Catholic Church or they believe in charismatic churches and the prosperity gospel, or they believe in no God at all and they believe in science, so-called. And it's darkness, it's confusion. And I would say our world today that you see around you, even here in Wiley, Texas, I know that for me growing up, I didn't see Wiley as a dark place. I didn't see Saxe as a dark place or Murphy as a dark place. The The problem is that people here are better at hiding it up than they are in other places. I've been to Oklahoma City and I've seen drug addicts on the street. I've seen homeless people on the street. Darkness. The problem is they're better at hiding it up here. But people here in Wiley and Sachse and Murphy, they're bound in just as much darkness as anywhere in the world. And they're just as hopeless as anywhere in the world. And if anyone needs the light, it's your neighbors here in Wiley and Murphy and in Sachse and in Levon. And we could say that our society is a land that sits in darkness. And as part of our human nature, we feel the darkness and we often get depressed and we get hopeless. And people have a million different ways to try to cope with this hopelessness. But the problem is there's not a solution that they can find. They look to the earth in darkness, dimness of anguish. There's no solution here on the earth. So how can we have hope? How could Judah have hope? Well, what did Isaiah say in chapter 9, verse 2? Judah could have hope because the light was coming. We can have hope because the light came. And in Matthew chapter 4, roughly 700 years after Isaiah prophesied this, the light came. You can turn over there to Matthew chapter 4. Y'all normally get out at 8:45, 9 o'clock. What? Am I close? 10:30? Okay. I could have slowed down a little bit. Matthew chapter 4, look there in verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Jesus was undoubtedly the light that shined into the darkness of our world. What does it say in John chapter 1, verse 4? He says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus came to deliver people from the darkness that they were in because of their sin. In John chapter 8, the woman was caught in adultery, and Jesus pardons her. And what does he say? In John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. When men on earth were bound in their darkness because of their sin, Jesus Christ came to them. And when we could not go to God, Emmanuel, God with us, came to men. Jesus went to Galilee. Remember, Galilee was the darkest period, darkest portion of a dark country already. And Jesus went there, the place where no one wanted to go. Jesus went there because the people who were bound in darkness needed his light. They needed him. And many people followed after Jesus. Look there in Matthew 4. Actually, look at verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so he preached the light. He preached the gospel to the people who were bound in darkness of their sin. Now jump down to verse 25. It says, and there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Gentile, from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, Jews, and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Jesus did not just come for the Jews. He came to the Jews, but he did not just come for the Jews. Jesus came for all people of all time who were bound in their own darkness. So let me ask you a question. Is there hope for people today who are found in their darkness. There was hope for the people back in Galilee back then because the light came to them. But is there hope for us today? In John chapter 8, the verse that I referenced a second ago, it says that the light shineth in darkness. And we don't say it that way anymore. But is that shineth? Is that past, present, or future tense? It's present. You know what's great? Is in the Greek, their tenses are way more specific than ours are. And in the Greek, it's in the perfect tense, which is something that was completed in the past and has ongoing results, ongoing effects. And so the light shined into the darkness, and it is still shining into the darkness to deliver people from their sins, from their darkness. Jesus did not just come for the Jews, he came for the Gentiles as well. And he did not come just for people 2,000 years ago. He came for people today too. He came for your neighbors. He came for the people who you see at the grocery store, who you see at the drive-thru, at the restaurants. He came for the people that you work with because they are bound in their darkness and they need to see the light just like all of you saw the light. Jesus comes to all people to give the light of the gospel to them who are bound in their sins. My favorite hymn is Because He Lives. And I'll read you the first verse. It goes like this. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my... An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And the Son of God left heaven's splendor, left the glory and adoration of all of heaven, and he came to our dark world to love, heal, and forgive us, and to buy our pardon. And because of the light of Jesus Christ, life is worth living because we are free from our darkness. But after you receive this light, you have a responsibility. No, Jesus didn't come just to free you from your sins. He came to free you from your sins and then give you a new purpose. Look there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Okay, so Jesus is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And the very next thing that Jesus says, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so after they repented and believed the gospel and trusted in Jesus Christ, they were supposed to follow him. That was their responsibility. They were supposed to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. And, well, maybe you'll say, you know, I'm not good at talking to people. He didn't say, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men if you're good at talking to people. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The world has no hope outside of the gospel. And you have the gospel. You have the responsibility to tell your neighbors, your co-workers. I have the responsibility to tell my neighbors, my co-workers, about the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be freed from their darkness. Amen. Jesus comes to all people to give the light of the gospel to them who are bound in darkness. We have to tell other people. We have to preach the gospel because we possess the only thing that can give the world around us hope in their darkness.